Coming up next, WWER presents Your Care Partners, a show dedicated to providing support and education to our community about caregiving. Just know you're not alone, 'cause I'm gonna make this place your home. Experienced professional caregivers Jill White and Marty Allman have casual conversations about care, offering advice and tips to help navigate caring for others. Jill White is a certified dementia practitioner and an Alzheimer's Association facilitator for caregiver support groups with over 30 years' experience working in long-term care. Marty Allman is certified as a master trainer for the Best Friends approach to Alzheimer's. She is a certified psychiatric nursing assistant with over 20 years' experience working in long-term care.
Hi, welcome to WWER 88.1 FM. I'm Marty Allman, and Jill White has called in sick today, and we are your care partners. Today, we have special guests we're welcoming into the studio for the first time, Don and Christy Talbot. Don wrote a book, Alzheimer's, Don's Faithful Journey. And just to give you a little background, Don was diagnosed at a very early age with Alzheimer's. We've had them on the show before, so this is just a continuation of our conversations that we have with them. And I'd like to start with you, Christy. You said that you wanted to just kind of put something out there for everybody to think about today.
First of all, thank you for having us, and we're really happy to be here. One of the things that's important to Don is that we continue to speak about our journey and the hopes that we can help someone else. We recently had a really good thing happen. Don had his 60th birthday.
Woohoo!
Yes.
Congratulations.
We never thought we would see that day together. He was diagnosed with Alzheimer's at age 41. He was diagnosed at UVA Hospital in Charlottesville, also at Duke, and then John Hopkins. So three really good hospitals, and after we got those three, I started believing that that was his diagnosis, and then we decided to see what we could do to fight. His prognosis was he probably would be gone in 3 to 5 years. And after watching a lot of people get diagnosed at an early age, that is true for a lot of people. But the one thing I wanted to talk about first today is hope. For people who may be thinking, oh my goodness, you know, I can't find my car, or they get lost going to work and they're starting to see issues that's making them think, boy, I hope I don't have Alzheimer's, or I hope this is something else other than what I'm thinking it might be. When Don was diagnosed, there was no hope. There were no treatments. There was nothing to slow it, stop it, treat it in any way. What you did was treat symptoms, and that is it. And most of the time, those drugs were sedative drugs, and he would end up sleeping a lot. But what I wanted to talk about today is go back to hope. Today, when you have memory, when you think you have memory issues or forms of dementia, and you're just wondering, but you don't want to be one of those people labeled, or you're afraid to be diagnosed with that, I want to encourage people to change that way of thinking. It is not 20 years ago when you were diagnosed, there was nothing to do, nothing, you know, no hope. So yesterday I read a news article that the FDA has cleared the first blood test to detect Alzheimer's. Okay. It's, I don't know how they're pronouncing it. I would say LumiPulse. It's LumiPulse. And what this test is, it's a blood test that tests your plasma. And with that test, it can detect the amyloid plaque, which forms if you have a form of Alzheimer's disease. and it will show up early in the disease. And early detection is where we change the direction in which the disease is going to go, or we try to. We try to slow it now. We try to keep those memories there longer and longer. Mm-hmm. And then the next course, let's say you had this blood test done and it's showing that you have these amyloid plaques. Well, then what? Well, then you have the newest treatments. I know in West Virginia, they are focused on ultrasound. This new ultrasound technique actually pinpoints the amyloid plaques, and the important part of getting the new IV drugs and the new drugs that will actually get rid of these plaques, and what it is it's a really sticky, it's a sticky part that's in your brain that disrupts your memories. And so what they want to do is they want to open up that blood brain barrier, which is very hard to do. And what they found with this ultrasound technique is they can pinpoint and open that up and then treat with the IV drugs, the drugs that will actually get rid of it. With this technique, the amyloid plaques targeted with ultrasound were reduced by 50% or more than the areas treated with the infusion alone. So we're talking about targeting specific places in the brain and getting rid of it. The longer that you could do this process, the longer the really bad parts of Alzheimer's are going to stay away. Is it a cure? No. But it is, if let's say your brain was, and I don't know if this is a good way to explain it, but if your brain was 50% full of these plaques and we can get rid of 40%, you're going to be doing a lot better than if you didn't have this done. So just to sum up, it's not 20 years ago when Don and I were first starting our journey. There is hope out there, and with these new ways of treating and trying to keep your brain as healthy as possible, you can live a lot longer and live good years with the things that you want left, with your memories, with knowing who your loved ones are, and so forth. So that's just something I wanted to touch base on first, is that remember, today there's a lot of hope, and it's very important to get a diagnosis early and start treatment early. It is so important.
Well, the other part of that, though, is you're talking about Alzheimer's specifically, and there are so many dementias out there. I mean, there are ones caused by
lack of
blood flow, infections.
Vitamin
deficiency. Mm-hmm. And so there's so many of these. If you just don't accept it for Alzheimer's, you might find out, all I got to do is take this vitamin every day and
it will help.
It will help and probably go away.
Right.
You know? Uh-huh. And so when I think that when you see these ads on TV for you do this, and this, and it'll help with Alzheimer's. Uh-huh. You see those all the time. I'm not saying that a nutritious diet isn't part of your memory getting better.
Interesting.
And when you get older, you don't eat nutritiously like you used to. You eat something usually very small, and you know, you don't get the same nutrients in your body.
Right. You're not getting out in the sunlight and getting the natural vitamin D. And
you're not even getting around people and socializing. Mm-hmm. And there's so many other things that's involved rather than just your memory.
Mm-hmm.
But she's absolutely right. For Alzheimer's specifically, there's some big stuff coming through.
Big stuff. It's exciting. It really is. From going from nothing to these options.
Well, and I think it's thanks to people like you, mm-hmm. unfortunately, your situation, but that you guys are out there and yep. you're, you know, working with the Alzheimer's Association and putting it out there that it doesn't mm-hmm. just affect older people
right.
and how much you all fought to get right. treatment for Don.
Right, and we really had to fight because when Don was diagnosed, he was 41 years old. The first drug and or hands-on like operations, it was for 55 and older, and we had to fight for Don's right to be in these studies. One thing that you said, Parkinson's, we are thankful for the doctors who recognized that Parkinson's and some forms of dementia tend to go together. And what happened for Don was these doctors was they were realizing that the Parkinson's patients who were getting deep brain stimulation for their shaking, it actually stopped their shaking once they had a deep brain stimulator, they found out that their memory was getting better. And so that's what pushed the testing for DBS with Alzheimer's patients. And that's the one that we really fought for. And for the first time, this study had lowered the age for Don to be included because...
It's a miracle.
Yeah, they had,
yeah,
80-year-olds in there that were, you know, they had other health conditions. Whereas Don was in his 40s and he was healthy other than the fact that he had Alzheimer's. That's the only thing that he had wrong, you know, with him. And we credit that for the reason, we credit three things, the reason why Don has made it this far. He has outlived any prediction. In fact, when he goes to his neurologist twice a year, we pretty much, he tells jokes and just says, hey, Don, how are you? And what's making you happy nowadays? Because there's really nothing else that we can do for Don because we're doing everything right now. And he privately told me when he sees our names on the schedule, he holds his breath because we are coming very close to the year 20.
Gosh.
And I can tell you that's a miracle. We credit God, number one. We have a deep, deep faith in trusting in God's timing and trusting in God's direction for us. And we feel that, like the DBS, if we fought hard enough and we felt we were being led to go through that door, those doors did eventually open for us. So that's the first thing that we count on. Second thing is that Don actually received the deep brain stimulator. I think we've talked about that in episodes before, where when they were testing it, they don't allow it to be left at a high voltage number, but when it was being tested, he had memories of when he was a child, and they were true.
And we don't know. It's kind of sad. We don't have any contact with anybody else that's had the same.
Right. So you're in the Long Ranger.
We have no idea how they've turned out.
Or and if they're still here.
Even if they're still here.
Because you were so young. And they were the average, what, quote, the average age. And we know that with Alzheimer's disease and other dementias, the age is getting lower and lower, unfortunately. So we credit
I think that's
everything.
Why I can still speak. I really do.
It is.
The DBS is why I can still speak.
Well, I know that for a fact.
Yeah, I know that for a fact.
The rest of it, the anxiety and the nerves and the forgetting and all that other stuff is still there.
Yeah.
But for some reason, you know, I can still speak. So,
right.
I mean, that's a big deal.
It is a big deal.
People out there that are taking care of people with dementia, usually their speech is one of the first things to go. Or at least word finding.
Right, right.
You know,
and then, we call it word salad.
Yeah, and then they'll just come up with word salad and just start speaking words. And that's nothing odd. That just happens to some people more than others.
Right.
But this has helped me keep my train of thought pretty much. Mm-hmm. It really has. And
that's a miracle.
It is a miracle.
Yeah.
It is. Well, and you know, We all have miracles every single day if we just look at them. I mean, just the fact that you can go to the doctor and he can give you medicine to stop your anxiety, that's a miracle.
So what I was, those three things was our faith in God, that Don was able to get the DBS. And the third thing that I think, if it's okay with y'all, we would like to touch on, about 10 years ago, we were ready to possibly start looking at nursing homes for Don. Because of the anxiety side and just everything that goes on top of that, he actually needed to be placed somewhere where there could be a very strict schedule that he could count on. When you're at home, it's hard to follow a strict schedule. You know, there you wake up roughly the same time, you have breakfast at the same time, you know how the day is going to be scheduled. And right before we started looking, my son said, have you thought about trying marijuana? Then it was not approved yet, but we were really at a crossroads. And so we were able to get some, and now it's all legal. It has been the next miracle on our journey.
Smoke it like you stole it.
Now, for Don to be in the car, he has to smoke before we get in the car. To wake up, he has wake up cannabis that, and we go to
a
government dispensary. Yeah, yeah. They have pharmacists there that will actually help you, because there's so many different types. And Don gets two types. He gets one type to wake up and one type to relax his anxieties. Before we went down this road, he was getting to the point where I could not handle him.
Boy, it was a constant for me. Well, what do I do next? Well, what do I do next? I'm
talking every 10 seconds.
Yeah. Well, literally, I'll just pace the house.
Or go in a circle.
I was doing it last night. Mm-hmm. I could not figure out what I was supposed to do. And this was until probably 9:30 at night. Mm-hmm. I couldn't get myself straight. And I'm sure whoever's listening to this, they're shaking their head. Yep. They're pacing to death. But it calms me. It lets me be a productive part of the family.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
And instead of just being part of the family.
If I take my medicine, which it does take the anxiety away, if I take that, I have to be prepared to sleep for about 3 hours.
Or 4 to 6.
Yeah,
and whatever. That's going back to that sedation again. We want our loved ones to be able to be part of the family. And
it works. Now, there's no doubt the medicine works.
Is it a cure-all? No. We can't go to parties. We can't go to church anymore because Don can't be around the music. And there's a lot of people at church. So we still have to make our day, prepare our day to be the most successful day it can be for Don. And we know what that means. And that's a very important thing to implement as you are trying to help your loved one be successful.
And the anxiety comes in several different ways. You get anxiety about what you're supposed to do during the day. You get anxiety about, well, are we going to eat at 12 or are we not going to eat at 12? Are we going to end up eating at 2? Because, man, that's 2 hours later. I'd really like to eat at 12.
And you're supposed to eat by 12.
You're supposed to eat at 12.
You know, that's the kind of mindset he has.
Well, and that's
how you keep your routine.
That's what happens. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So, if I can control, and I'm sure this is 99.9% of the people out there, if they can manage their anxiety, they can get along a lot better in everyday life. And I would caution their caregivers, please do not isolate your loved one.
Yeah.
Please don't just give them a puzzle and tell them to go sit down in the other room. And even if they're not verbal, anymore.
They're still there.
I respect that.
And they really need to be socialized. Mm-hmm. Around their friends, your friends. And
I have to jump in. You have to carefully socialize them.
Mm-hmm. I'm not saying stick them in a room full of people that are just right. at a party.
But it may be one visitors. Different person.
Visitors.
Mm-hmm. One family like member.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it doesn't have to be for an hour. It could be simply for 10 minutes.
Right.
Somebody come by to say hi. Or even if your friends, especially older people, they appreciate cards and handwritten letters. Mm-hmm. And if you did that to someone that you know, the communication is super, super important. I'll put it this way. Just think if you had a broken arm, but you weren't allowed to open your mouth or tell anybody. And everybody that came to you, since you couldn't talk to them, they just put you in the other room and sat you down. But your arm is still, it's broken and it's killing you. So why is nobody paying attention to me?
They're going to act out.
Imagine.
You're going to do whatever you can to get someone to respond mm-hmm. to that.
You are going to act out.
Right.
Period.
I agree.
And I use a broken arm as an example, but if you can't be part of the conversation and you're made to stay in a room, but you're not allowed to speak,
sometimes that can be frustrating.
Yeah.
When I worked in memory care, one of the things that we did was, you know, we did have small groups and we had mm-hmm. people at different stages. Mm-hmm. So, but we had them together. And we called that passive participation. And mm-hmm. we just watched that person's body language. And if we felt like they were getting overstimulated, then we just kind of changed things. And, you know, well, you know, maybe went and got them a drink or, you know, yeah. took them away from the situation, but not as, you know, it wasn't right. like this big production to take them away from the situation. It was just, let's go get some tea or let's, you know, just changing that for them. And some of them were nonverbal, mm-hmm. You know, and really, you know, at the latter stages where they couldn't, you know, feed themselves right. or whatever, yeah. but they deserved that right to be socialized. Mm-hmm. They deserved that.
And don't be fooled by some of their actions, because one thing that's happened to me, I've become extremely apathetic. Nothing really makes me happy. Mm-hmm. Nothing really makes me sad. Mm. So if you, as a stranger, come saw me just sitting in a chair like this,
I might get the wrong idea.
You might get the exactly. Mm-hmm. Or come down and sit beside me on a park bench and, well, what's wrong with him? And take off and go. And so you really got to kind of pick up on your loved ones, that sixth sense that you have mm-hmm. about them.
And I believe there is one. Mm-hmm. I do believe that there's, you know, a gut feeling, and mm-hmm. a lot of times we just ignore it. But
right.
yep.
I feel like I'm a really empathetic person, and I think that's why I did well in my career, was because I really did tune in to other people.
Sure.
Not like I was,
that's,
you know, woo, but but just my gut feeling about a situation. And a lot of times I'd have nurses, you know, Marty, no, this is how I feel. We need to handle this situation.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think it's very, very important to always be monitoring the atmosphere around your loved one. For instance, if a group is coming towards you, and let's say you haven't seen your girlfriend in forever, and what a lot of women will do is that high-pitched, hi,
yeah.
and get all excited, and that will shut Don down, or you will get cussing.
I'd go ninja on all of them.
Non-stop cussing.
Oh my.
And Don's goodness. Not a person that, normal Don would not cuss. Alzheimer's Don cusses.
We were in the hospital one time, and about three or four different nurses
John Hopkins.
Did that all at one time. Hey!
Oh, he went off.
And I was like, you got to be kidding me.
Look at Don. If you didn't know, his health story, had have no clue.
No idea.
You would just say, oh my heavens, that why is that woman with him? He is awful. It is a big win just to have him somewhere. And then
it's a big win to be here today.
Yes, it is.
It is. And you know, and I don't want you guys to take this the wrong way, but when I met you two outside, we've talked on the phone and done the radio show. Not what I expected.
Yeah.
He got out of the car first.
Yeah.
Now he had a spring in his step. I was like, wow.
Oh, he's because excited.
I met you guys years ago at the Alzheimer's Walk in Gloucester.
Right.
And, you know, fell in love with your story. And so to see you now and see what a miracle it is that you're here to inform the community that you're giving people a window into what their loved ones are going through. And that's, to me, that's just, that's a gift.
Well, and you know what? As much as I'm going through, the caregiver goes through probably more. Because the caregiver actually has to, they have to be the project manager.
Yeah.
Over the whole thing. You know, are we got supplies coming in here? Are we going to get transportation over there? Mm-hmm. Do we have this and that? And without my project manager, I would be lost.
Yeah. So. Well, and you know, 10 years ago, when we would go and talk to Don's neurologist, I'd tell him, he's so bad. And he was just so bad. And within that time, and adding on, finding the right things for Don with using cannabis. Mm-hmm. It is a miracle how much better he is now.
That's crazy.
Now, I can tell you, if we've run out of that before, and he's right back to, I can't control him, he is not someone you'd want to be around.
But I could take my anxiety pills.
He could, and then he would go to sleep.
And I would I'd be fine, but I'd just have to go sleep.
And he would not be a happy camper.
I just want to take the time to thank you both for coming to the show and coming to the studio today. I know it was a big effort, and
this is a nice studio too.
It is.
Yeah.
This is like the Louvre.
It was wonderful. It really was special to Don because this used to be his work area when he worked for the phone company.
Yeah, so it's nice to come back.
And we talked about it, got him ready, and he just was so excited to come today. So we really appreciate it.
If you or someone you know is caring for others, please feel free to share this podcast with them. You can listen online at wwer.org.
Please send questions, concerns, or suggestions for future topics to our email, carepartners@wwer.org.
If you enjoy the programming on WWER, please consider making a donation. You can find out more at wwer.org/membership.